The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. Great to be back. It's the weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, and Colton Stone. Hope you had a great Christmas and holiday season. We have been off of Hail Varsity since a week ago Saturday. Bowl games extraordinaire, the holidays in there, and a little bit of a break Monday and Tuesday, and then back at it full swing Wednesday. We welcome you in this morning. Don't blame us for 4 degrees in the middle finger. Jeez,
feels like negative 50.
It is bad outside, but give us a follow on Twitter. And next couple of hours, plenty of football talk. We'll get into some Nebraska football, some Husker hoops, and, of course, the semifinals today. You can join us, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, and give us a shout on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skurs, at Two Birds, One Stone for Colton Stone. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. We're wide open this morning. Till 8 o'clock. No rewind this morning. In the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity. We'll say hi to the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. And then Dean Blevins, Sooner legend, part of the Sooner Insiders and News 9 down in Oklahoma City, the sports animal, a beast of a sports radio network that's been on forever in Oklahoma. Dean Blevins authored Sooner Magic, unfortunately, at Memorial Stadium in 1976. But Dean has been doing it and doing it the best for Oklahoma for years. We'll head down to South Beach and get caught up with Dean Blevins, get a bit of a preview with OU and Alabama. You look at the four playoff teams, and they are what you want to become if you're Nebraska. You're in the postseason again. Most of these teams, aside from Notre Dame, are staples with the college football playoff. Bama and Clemson, yes. Oklahoma, back-to-back years. And there's usually that fourth seat for somebody from the Big Ten out there. This year it's Notre Dame. They're not Big Ten, but they're in the region. So you look at what the common denominator is with all of these programs. They all have a quarterback. They all can score points. But your favorites, three out of the four of them, know how to stop people and play defense. And if you're Nebraska football and just watching some of the bowl games, and I was watching Iowa State last night against Washington State,
yeah,
how physical Iowa State was, what they had in their running game, what they had in their true freshman quarterback, and how well their defense flew to the football. You're like, okay, Iowa State's 8-5. They've had some signature wins. Coach Campbell's wowed many. His buyout's enormous. Iowa State always seems to find the right dude for the right spot. And if you can win in Ames, dare I say, you can win in Lincoln. And I don't think the feel that is that Nebraska's very far away from getting back to respectability. They showed a large measure of that the second half of this season. But what you got to have, man, you got to pack your – they always say pack special teams in your run game when you go on the road. Well, the bigger picture is find a quarterback and get a defense. And this is what's unique about Oklahoma. They have just tracked meted everybody they've played, and there's been a kind of a similar feeling with, I think, Nebraska fans and Oklahoma fans this year, where you feel good about your offense. Obviously, OU's offense is at a crazy level the last 2 years with the back-to-back Heisman winners, and quite frankly, the talent level entering into the program, if you look at stars.
Sure. They got a fleet of dudes.
Is at a high level, and their offensive line's been really, really good. So, listen, Oklahoma and Nebraska not too dissimilar with how they have to win football games. Nebraska's defense, you'll need to tip your cap to them with the Michigan State game. They improved. Oklahoma's defense got a little bit better, but it's still you got at least put up 35 a game. from my vantage point, every game, all the time. Have fun against Bama today.
There are so few teams, and it'll be so good to talk to Dean Blevins about it because, like you mentioned, legend, been around forever, has seen every variation of Oklahoma.
Hosted the Bob Stoops show, does the Lincoln Riley show. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and he's seen, you know, he's seen everything from Wishbone up through the Blake years up to Bradford and Stoops. And then now you have this offense that if you were to think of maybe one guy to compare Scott Frost to in the coaching world, Lincoln Riley just jumps right up.
Two young dudes that are very awesome at offense.
Innovative. Mm-hmm. Very innovative on offense, and they put pressure on you literally every snap. And it's interesting that without, you know, essentially a defense, or without one that is gargantuan, they can get you to play their game. Oklahoma doesn't play low-scoring games.
Nope.
It just doesn't happen.
They've adapted to the zip code they're in.
Yeah, when you're playing them, it's going to be a high-scoring game. You look at Georgia last year. That clearly superior defense. Mm-hmm. Game could have gone either way because it turns into a track meet. Like, that's what the game becomes. Now, against Alabama, there are so few teams defensively, so few teams. It's rare anymore. I think you can even rewind 10 years ago and you could probably count 15 to 20 borderline elite defenses a year. Now there's like four.
You're right. And
you know, and Alabama's
one of them. That's what separates. That's what separates is can you score points on offense? Do you have a good to elite quarterback, and is he good early? Right?
Yeah.
Or do you hit the jackpot with a grad transfer? Mm-hmm. And do you have a defense? Do you have a defense
that is so hard to build, though?
That is competent. You're not asking for 09 Nebraska. You're not asking for Bama last year. Or let's go a step. Or Georgia. Georgia had, I don't know how many NFL dudes.
Yeah.
Right? But even the best of the best in this sport get tagged by these offenses. I mean,
Michigan, right?
Your job is to just kind of hang on for dear life about two or three games a year, even if you have a great defense, even if you have a great defensive line. That's just the way life is, and people are watching. People love college football. It's regional, and it's trickled upward stylistically into the NFL. I was talking with a buddy yesterday. And he works in the NBA. And he was like, man, we had our best regular season numbers are always Christmas. We had 5.8 million people check out. We had 5.8 million people check out LeBron v. Steph, right? They checked out Golden State, L.A.
Yep.
I watched it. It was what was on. Kind of got a kick out of it. He's like, that's a great number for us, man. And then he says, you know what, the 3:30 kick between Pittsburgh and who'd Pittsburgh play?
I watched the game, too. And
right.
I can't
we remember. All watched the game.
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans and Pittsburgh. 25.4 million.
Yeah.
He's like, we got a great product. We got a transcendent player. We still do a fourth of what the NFL does.
Yeah.
And then college football. Yeah. Folks, it's a Saturday. You're going to flip on the radio, going to pick up a six-pack. ESPN Lincoln will have the playoff games on for you. But folks in droves will watch college football.
Yeah,
it's not dwindled because of the excitement in the offense. And that's what people will tune in for. But when push comes to shove, who's going to be playing on Monday night? It's going to be the team that has the defense that can stand up. Defense will still win it for you. It's just so rare to find a team that is not only competent but good against these offenses because you, as a D coordinator, as a defense, mm-hmm. you're backpedaling. You want to be able to stop the run, but guess what? Then they put you in a pickle and they're spreading you out.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, there are rules in college that are different than the NFL that I think probably doesn't get talked about enough, but that – you know, in the zone read where your offensive lineman can get 3 yards uh-huh. downfield.
Yep,
you cannot do that
buffer.
In the NFL. And so there is no cue anymore as to whether or not it's run pass.
No, the RPO.
So, yeah, and so naturally you have defenses, like, literally on their heels. That's not just a term. That's like they're literally standing on their heels, trying to diagnose, figure it out. Oh, it's a run. They've already gotten 3 yards before you even have closed in on it. And then if you have a really good athlete, they might get 5 or 7 or 100 or, you know, an 80-yarder, or like whatever. So it's super difficult to build a great defense. But does that mean you don't try is not the right word. I'm just saying
you still make it a priority.
And so it feels like the only equalizer, the only way you can build a great defense is you have to be ridiculous on the defensive line and badass at linebacker. Yeah, I mean, you just have to have that. And for whatever reason, it seems like there are so many, so much fewer of those types out there. And so it just gets consolidated into a handful of teams. There's only like a handful. Look at the top defenses right now. Michigan, Clemson, you know, they're up there. Bama. They're three of the top nine right there. Right? Just right there.
You might scoff at this, but I'd throw Iowa State in there, especially the league they live in.
Iowa's 7th. Notre Dame is, you know, you put them at 20th. Mm-hmm. It is so difficult to find those types and to be able to maul somebody defensively. You used to be able to maul people defensively. There were a lot of teams like that. Remember Virginia Tech in their day?
Yep.
That's all they did was defense and special teams. And you throw in a Michael Vick and, oh my God. You know, it's so exceedingly difficult to do. Oklahoma appears that they're honestly not even really trying. They're just like, I'm not saying they don't try to play defense.
All the narrative has been,
but they don't try to build a stout, mauling defense. They're not trying to do that.
What can you get out of the Oklahoma defense against Tua and this Bama offense? How will Oklahoma react against a defense like this Alabama 11 they're going to see? And that's what it's been. And it's going to be, well, Alabama's going to get off the field way more often than Oklahoma does, and there's your difference. That's what it is.
Dude, look at Virginia Tech even.
They were good.
Hung their hat on it. This year, where they ranked, though, defensively? 98th.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's why they...
Now they got Fuente, and they got the...
Right.
It's
all about what
offense.
You emphasize and your philosophy, and it's okay to emphasize offense and make that your staple, make that your identity. Mm-hmm. So you got to pick what you're going to be a specialist at defensively. What's your team going to be? Well, Nick Saban is going to be better than you and deeper than you with NFL talent on the lines of scrimmage. And he is going to be insanely good in the secondary. The thing that you can kind of angle if you're looking for this defensive resuscitation is you look at guys like Spielman or thank you, Purdue, for showing up yesterday.
My God.
But you have a guy like Rondale Moore, right? I mean, phenomenal player. But when push comes to shove, Auburn came to play. They were ready to rock. They were better defensively and fast and physical.
Brutal.
You need couple three Christmas list, right, of those hybrid guys. Forever, you've got guys on offense that are sick athletes like Rondale Moore, right?
Yeah.
Well, flip it around. Can you get that hybrid guy on defense to match up that's good against the pass and coverage, good off the edge as a blitzer, and is just
Shaquem Griffin,
stone cold killer when it comes to stopping the run.
Shaquem Griffin.
Can you take those athletes and get them on the defensive side of the ball? Can you find a couple of those dudes, a couple of Levante Davids or a Hags or a Gomes?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys that are just difference makers, good in space, and can force a turnover. Nebraska's picking the identity defensively to be sound, to be big and physical, first and foremost, right?
Yep.
That's where they need to go.
That's a hedge against what they face in the Big Ten.
Yep. Right. And then also be able to force that splash play turnover that'll shift momentum, get you another possession, and if it's going to be a boat race, at least have one more chance with the football.
And you
saw at least Nebraska do that in a couple of games this year, where the Ohio State game and Michigan State come to my mind, where a defensive play swung the momentum and put Nebraska back in the driver's seat.
And, you know, look, that's almost equally hard to build. Mm-hmm. As Brandon Vogel has written about that extensively, about takeaway opportunities. It's called take ops. It's, mm-hmm. it's a forced fumble. It's a pass breakup. It's an interception. Any of that stuff. And, you know, over the course of time, imagine, fumbles are a 50-50 proposition, man. They just are. You know, it's just how it is.
You can force it. Do you get it?
Your interception to pass breakup ratio is always going to be really low. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of hard to intercept the ball when you don't know kind of where it's going. Your back is turned, all of that. So you're building a defense banking on that. Banking on your ability to have enough takeaway opportunities that you're going to get a few, and that'll be the difference. It gives you an extra possession, takes points away from the other one. It looks so different, but it's still the same concept that it's always been. Turnovers, mm-hmm. field position. I mean, that's what it is.
Don't let them run all over you so they smoke you with play action pass.
But it just looks so different. And it's so... It's going to make you long for things today when you watch how Clemson plays D. Well, when you watch how Alabama plays D, you're just like, Nebraska
but they're
should
it,
have
man.
That.
They're thing. They're it, you know? And Notre Dame to a distant third defensively. They're it, right? Yeah. They are it in college football. You can name what? You can name 5 to 7 programs, game in, game out, that are not a mess defensively.
I know.
Right?
And again, I would count Michigan among that group.
And they still got 70 hung on them by a, air quote, bad Ohio State offense.
Yeah, put it this way. Listen to this. Michigan still, despite that game, number one defense in America still, by a pretty good margin, by 6 yards over Mississippi State. They got just completely embarrassed and crushed by their rival, mm-hmm. still ended up number one. So nobody's immune to it anymore.
No.
Nobody's immune to it anymore. Here's the other thing that's come back in vogue, and how did it ever come out of, how did it go away? Hello, the running quarterback? Like, at what point was it decided, like, people are acting like that is some sort of newfound thing now. Where it's like, oh, well, what they're doing, they got the mobile court. It's like, that has always screwed
teams for years.
Like,
right?
that is never a bad idea to have a mobile court. Like, why on earth would you not go after
can I tell you
a
why?
Mobile quarterback?
Can I tell you why? Okay, because back in the day, finding a Vince Young was more rare. Now everybody runs the spread, so you have more choices at mobile quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you lose one, do you have a backup that's suitable? You're always worried about injuring your guy. The third part of it is, okay, if we do get stopped offensively with our dual threat guy, is he a good enough thrower to win throwing the football? You look at Hurts, right? What cost Hurts his job? It wasn't 26-2. It was the fact the two losses he had, he was a mess throwing the football. The rare times, the one time you got to be good throwing and running. Yeah. And Nebraska's always had the running quarterback. They wanted that edge. They wanted that element of the option, right? And you go back to Crouch, you go back to Jamal Lord, you go back to Turner. I mean, you go back to all the greats that made on 3rd and 8, what are they going to do? And guess who's making the play to move the sticks or take a touchdown to the house because of that phenomenal athleticism. Now, everyone wants one. Everyone's trying to get one. And you'll live with the so-so passing. Mm-hmm. And if you can get back to this great quarterback point, two is mobile enough. He's still a pass-first guy.
Yeah.
It's gone from mobile.
Mobile enough.
Yeah, it's gone from mobile to it's gone from running to mobile. Be a thrower first and be mobile second.
Yeah.
And you look at what Nebraska has and Adrian Martinez.
Well, all I know is if Martinez comes back for his 4th year and 2nd Heisman Trophy campaign, September 18th in Norman is a game you'll want to be at.
We'll be there.
Nebraska, Oklahoma in 2021. We'll just say it now. 1,250 yards combined. Easily. And we'll put the overs at about 97.
Okay.
But the over-under is at 97.
So a 35-31 tribute
but
at halftime.
I mean, just imagine that game, though. Mm. I mean, really. Watching Oklahoma is probably your closest approximation on this big stage to what Frost and company are building.
What's going to work, what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And right now, Alabama's got bigger, stronger, faster dudes than most people. And now, their bigger, stronger, faster dudes can match up against what Oklahoma's got.
Let me edit myself here, actually. Because I have found this interesting this entire time when you hear Frost talking about what he's trying to build. So it is clear that Oklahoma is just they are speed and spread you out, period. Mm-hmm. That's what they care about. That's their entire identity. It works for them. They're in the playoffs again. You've heard Frost, though. So they've chosen sort of speed over brawn.
Kinda. I mean, they're still brawny on the offensive and defensive lines.
You know what I'm saying, though. Right. Frost.
They're not Wisconsin or Iowa, is what you're saying.
Right. Frost, meanwhile, has been adamant that he is going to build both. Mm-hmm. So in that case, who is the one team in America that you can say is both?
Alabama. Clemson.
Right. You know, and so now I have to edit myself and think. Because he's not compromising on that.
No.
He's saying, I want the biggest, fastest, strongest team. And, oh, yeah, I also want them to be the fastest. And it's like, dude, that's a lot. All right? I don't know if you're allowed to, when you're building a program and you're not in Tuscaloosa, to just do that. Like, don't you have to kind of choose a style? He's saying, no. What we're going to do is we are going to be bigger than everybody. Okay, check. Going to be stronger than everybody. Oh, okay. That's cool, too. And faster than everybody. It's like, but that's a lot, dude. Like, can you really do that?
Yeah. You have no choice. I mean, that's your goal, right? Either become that, get in that really, really exclusive area of the pool with how you train and develop. And that's the difference, okay? That's your difference here with where Nebraska's at. They'll get some dudes again, and they've gotten some dudes that are freak enough athletes to play anywhere, okay?
Outside linebacker is still weird.
It is. And what you have at Alabama and Clemson is you've got five-star development. Yeah. You got the four or five-star dude coming in that's more ready earlier. But then they get developed to a sick level by their redshirt freshman year. Mm-hmm. And I have no doubt about Nebraska's training and development. I think they're going to be tremendous. The kids you're going to get, though, what's their starting point?
Yeah, I know.
Okay? I mean, what?
Nebraska needs longer to bake the meal.
Right. It's going to taste awesome, and you're going to want to come back for more. Yeah. But what's the oven time?
Yeah, you're
that's what's remarkable about Clemson. That's what's remarkable about Bama. And by the way, Saban loses an assistant or a coordinator every year because the guy's hard to work for.
Yeah,
I mean, he just his level of driven's matched by few. Okay, so
I could see him walking away if they win it.
We've been saying that for 5 years.
I'm just saying I can see that.
He wouldn't know what to do with himself, man.
Yeah, you're right.
So
it's more wishful than anything else. Just what? Rebalance everything.
Listen, man, you lose Urban and Saban in the same year. And talk about right timing. So
going
with the speed and the athleticism and the spread and the tempo and the big play, and then, oh, yeah, wanting to build a fast, physical, turnover-producing defense that is great on the lines of scrimmage, that's what you got to chase and go for. Try and get into that club.
Yeah. And you look at – how far is Nebraska from that?
That's what's weird, man. This is our second holiday season where Nebraska's home for the holidays.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. It's different.
Yeah.
And, you know, this time of year you're wondering, when's Nebraska going to be back on a Friday night in the Alamo Bowl? When's Nebraska going to be back in a New Year's Day 6? When's Nebraska going to be playing in Indy or Chicago or wherever for a Big Ten championship, things look great. Things will be okay. But, man, it stinks waiting. But you've been waiting for this thing to get completely overhauled and fixed for a long time.
Yeah,
it's been drifting.
Well, and it's, you know, bringing up that game half facetiously, hey, like everybody start gearing up for Oklahoma Nebraska 2021. Mm-hmm. Think about that. That'll be year four.
Sure.
Right? It'll be year four. This big recruiting haul that Nebraska just brought in. Those dudes are all redshirt sophomores.
Time in the oven
at that point.
Time to come out of the oven.
You know, and by then, we had talked about this last recruiting class. Size-wise, man, Nebraska's up there. Mm-hmm. In the country,
a lot
in terms of,
kids. Of
just the size that they're bringing onto the roster, to at that point by 2021, you're only going to have the choice to your defensive line is going to be a bunch of 6'7" dudes, mm-hmm. no doubt about it.
And which one of the 6'7" guys are going to be able to not just hit you at the line of scrimmage, but then go make a play?
Your secondary is all going to be 6 foot plus.
Mm-hmm.
Your linebackers are all going to be in that 230 to 250 range.
Long arms.
I mean, that's what you're going to have. Mm-hmm. That's all they're bringing in. That's all they're bringing in. So you're not going to have some undersized dude playing somewhere, you know, out of position or whatever. That's not going
to
happen.
You'll be able to move forward with what you've envisioned.
You're going
to
be stout. You're going to be huge. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be fast enough? I don't know. We'll see. And then you're going to have that innovative offense on the other side. It's beautiful to watch. It's good to watch. We know that it is, made fun of I-Corps for the whole brick by brick thing. He wasn't lying, though. The thing does need to be built. Now, the way they went about it was mm-hmm. completely incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't lying.
Nope.
You're starting over here. I mean, you were completely starting over. But by then, Adrian Martinez's senior year, having already won the Heisman in 2020, will he be the first repeat Heisman winner? I guess is the main question. We'll take your calls.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you for that. And by then, you're sturdy on the lines, which is what you got to have.
Well, I guess that might be McCaffrey's first start. So how will he do on the road?
Thank you for fast-forwarding here, Michael
Logan
J.
Smothers?
Fox.
Or will it be Logan Smothers?
I don't know.
Who's going into his senior year in high school in Alabama.
We'll spend some more time with Nebraska. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio.
Vedrill will have exhausted his eligibility already.
About 20 minutes away from Brandon Vogel.
Matt Masker, you know, as a walk-on, looks pretty good.
Kranak,
could be him.
Third and four conversions dance in your head. Reminder about your friends at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Spent a lot of time there this week. It's been enjoyable, and I want to see you there. As Madonna Proactive, be part of your New Year's resolution. Their expert staff can tailor a program to meet your needs. Sign up in January and receive an incredible monthly rate. Just $39 per month for your first 6 months. Associate members, only $29 per month. And I am Proactive. Join today. Madonna offers over 140 weekly group fitness classes, one for everyone. Give them a shout, 402-420-0000. You can log on, madonnaproactive.org. Stop by, give them a shout. Take the tour today and get signed up. Be part of their Proactive Health in January. A quick timeout. We'll continue on this weekend excursion with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio weekend presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. Give us a follow on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio. At Mark Skurs, at Two Birds, One Stone. We're talking defense and quarterbacks. Well, you have the quarterback. Where can your defense go if you're Nebraska? And it's not just a Nebraska issue to strive to be better defensively. The rest of college football, aside from Alabama and Clemson, and probably Notre Dame this year, are in line to mm-hmm. be better on the other side of the ball. Can join us this morning, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. What does a good to competent defense look like? Because let's look at Oklahoma for a second. We'll talk with Dean Blevins in 1 hour down in the Orange Bowl. They have the Bukies, okay? They've got the back seven.
That's worked out well. My God. DEFCON.
Listen.
When he decommitted, I mean, there were like candlelight vigils.
And listen, I talked.
Being held for the guy.
Dean was on with us probably about a month ago, right? And Buki was getting lit up for allowing three touchdowns again.
Well, don't start the guy at safety.
Kansas scored 40 on Boomer Sooner this year.
Yeah, quick. Don't put the guy at safety.
Well, they got to find a spot for him. Here was the problem.
Yeah.
All right. It was Mike Stoops. And it's been Angry Mike.
Diaco to save the day.
Well, he's in. And there was what the hell on Twitter earlier this week about a comment he made from Dirty Bob or Diamond Bob or Disco B. And listen, you're not alone here in the world of college football where your defense is good some days and a major liability in others. You can't have bad days in big moments like this because college football is an elephant memory on the stage, right? And that's not been good for Ohio State. They've been bad on a big stage since their championship. Fast forward it, everyone's like, okay, Oklahoma's good, but man, their defense is god-awful. I mean, it's part of doing things. And they aren't as bad as they have played, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next charge for OU is to go get halfway worth a damn on defense. Because they're spitting out quarterbacks, they got receivers, they got running game. We'll get to Craig here in a minute, but it's not just a Nebraska problem on defense.
No, not at all. It's of course not. Oklahoma's almost like the modern day college football conundrum on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like where the game is headed.
Where it's what it is.
Yeah, it's where it's headed, and I think if you fast forward 5 years from now, when there's an 8-team playoff,
mm-hmm.
there will be more Oklahoma types. Then there will be Alabama types.
Well, you still
in that top eight.
It's still rare, right?
Yeah.
It's still rare to have a team that can score 40 a game and hold you to 20 in college football. And even the Bamas of the world, they've had to win championships in shootouts. They've had to change their style because of how hard it is to play defense in college mm-hmm. football
sure.
now with the way they've shifted their offense. It's not give me a manager at quarterback and hand off to Henry.
Yeah,
go get me Tua and let's go four wide.
Yeah.
But we'll still have the ability to be a power run game. Craig, thanks for hanging on. Welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
Hey, no problem. Thanks. Having all your chips or all the chips on the table in your corner, bigger, stronger, faster, we don't have to have that. And Frost has proven at Florida that he didn't have, you know, all the chips in his corner, but he outsmarted,
coached
a lot of the other teams too,
mm-hmm.
with a little bit lesser on the table. I was going to throw out there. You talked about Jamal Lord. He was pure and simple runner. He was past the mobile quarterback. He was runner. He couldn't throw it to a guy in the whirlpool, but he could run with the top two or three quarterbacks we've ever had.
Yeah.
So
he was money.
Listen,
appreciate it, Craig.
Thanks,
Jamal Lord on the old option pass to the tight end.
I loved watching him run.
Well, I mean, his deep pass was phenomenal. Best deep thrower in Nebraska, could argue.
He caught way too much crap, man.
Don't you look back? We talked to Jamal last fall.
Yeah.
And don't you look back and go, "Damn, we were too hard on that guy."
Oh.
Because he's following Crouch.
Oh, dude, I really liked watching him run.
Last time Nebraska had a 10-3 season.
Yeah.
Captain Jamal, the quarterback.
Yeah, real men wear pink.
That's, absolutely.
That was his deal. He was for real. I really liked how he played. Now, Craig brings up a good point about Frost.
The headset advantage.
Don't overlook it.
No,
now, Frost's challenge will be to maintain that edge.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's so driven. He has been building for this.
Mm-hmm.
To be the captain of this ship in this town for this school, essentially his whole life, right? You know, and now he's here. So are you going to be able to keep that edge? But I completely agree with Craig in that, you know, the famous Charlie Weiss decided schematic advantage quote. Nebraska legitimately has that. They legitimately have that. You put him up there, he is, I believe, top five offensive designer play caller in the world. I mean, he really is. Like, good luck. You know, you're up against it when that dude is calling plays and he's got his horses and he's got he's got a quarterback that kind of knows what's going on. Look out. Like, you're gonna get some serious pressure.
And when to call it.
Yeah.
And he's money at it.
Look, Nebraska's got that. Craig, that's a really good point. You don't necessarily need, you know, elite talent all over the field.
You need a couple elite guys, and it's not like Nebraska can't go find their own version of Griffin to make, and they'll need to find someone like that's what's missing on the defense. They need to be bigger on the lines of scrimmage, so it's not Iowa first quarter through third quarter, obviously. But I don't have a doubt or a fear that Nebraska will get bigger, stronger, faster on the lines of scrimmage, or they'll find guys that will be the puzzle pieces they want to be a non-liability on the lines of scrimmage. I think that blend of speed and power, that Husker power with the Oregon blur, I think it can happen. And he's seen firsthand why Oregon fell short in their championship games. It's not because they weren't elite. It's not because they weren't great. It's because they ran up a couple of SEC schools that just were better in the trenches. They were just stronger.
So what he's building really is without a lot of precedent. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there are a handful of Oregon blur type teams. Mm-hmm. I know it's not the exact same offense, Oklahoma being one,
right,
like we're just talking about. I have not seen the team. We haven't seen it yet. Somebody that's really able to combine both. That's what he is trying to do. So we'll see if he can do it. It's going to be, if he can, it's going to be incredible.
So, no, that'll be nice. It's just hurry up and wait, right?
If it's possible.
Because it's been a long, long time. And this time of year, you long for Nebraska to be on the stage. You long to see Nebraska participate in some of these marquee ball games. You can email us, Chris at HaleVarsity.com, Mark at HaleVarsity.com, or shoot us a tweet. At Schmidt _radio, at Mark Skurs, at Two Birds, One Stone, or 466-377-6800-825-5865. Coming up, we'll have Brandon Vogel in about 15 minutes. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse. Dean Blevins down in South Beach. Let's spend a second on Purdue, okay? Because Purdue was a team that you walked away from going, okay, they won in Lincoln, never should happen, damn it. Then you're like, okay, Purdue's pretty good. And then Ohio State happened, and you said, okay, Purdue's really good. Then Minnesota happened. And then yesterday occurred with 56 being put up on them. My explanation is Purdue's not been in that moment against a team like that ever since Drew Brees was taking snaps. Two, you have one pissed off SEC team who's been made fun of by the rest of their SEC brethren for getting beaten by a Group of Five team for an entire year. And that all kind of came together. And when Auburn and Gus decides to call plays, when Auburn wants to be, they're part of your eight in discussion. Kevin Steele's your D coordinator down there. He has sick talent defensively.
Yep.
And they do that speed, power, physicality thing real well when they want to be on. The problem with Auburn is, well, their fan base and their boosters. The other problem with Auburn is they are unable to maintain at the level of an Alabama or Clemson or even a Georgia. And that's what gets into trouble. There's always some sort of drama with Auburn.
Yeah, they're a little inconsistent.
Actually, they're normal. They're normal to go from an 11-2 to a 9-3. You're gonna take steps back in college football. Their fan base won't allow it.
I've never understood this fascination with Purdue and Brohm. I get it. Look, Rondale Moore is good. Brohm is an offensive innovator. But they've seemed to have been characterized as this like kind of like burgeoning power or something. And you're just not, sort of like, what? No.
Listen,
just,
they're not. It's not often you destroy Ohio State like that. I mean, when Ohio State loses, they get blown out, fine. But it's usually the Clemsons blowing an Ohio State out. It's not Purdue, where the talent gap is like you or me standing next to Will Chamberlain, all right, height-wise, gap-wise. That's what's unique about it. That's what's different about it. Because, listen, Blau, good, really good quarterback, found his way to Purdue. Moore found his way to Purdue. They've always had some dudes that can play, right, defensively. And they're sneaky good about finding the guy that's better than the MAC destination he's supposed to go to and running the football. And they're just scrappy. So from a mindset standpoint, I think I appreciate them.
They're all right. But I don't expect them to be anything more than a nuisance.
8-4.
Yeah.
Best guess. Even just sting somebody at home. 8-4.
Tough out.
Okay.
Right. They'll foul off pitches. I just never bought that. Minnesota, meanwhile, I've been high on them for years. I honestly don't understand how they are not better, how they are not among the more Big Ten elite. They are recruiting to the best city in the Big Ten. Minneapolis, a great city. Sparkling new facilities throughout. Now you have a pretty weird coach. That is, but he's all in, man. He gets his guys to buy in. I mean, he does. And look how they've closed the year.
He's a motivator.
Yeah, well, and look how they've closed the year. They've closed the year pretty damn strong. You know, that out of their past like 4 to 5 games, what, you got Northwestern that got them, but Northwestern has just sort of outscrapped
everybody.
Yeah, this somehow they've ended up doing that. So they lost 24-14 to them, but
beat Wisconsin.
Minnesota blew out Purdue. They decisively beat Wisconsin, like you said, pretty decisively. Crushed Georgia Tech in the bowl game. Dude, that boat, man, it's rowing a little bit.
He's good, and that's where you're at. I don't know if Wisconsin's going to go away ever, as long as Barry's there. I don't know what Iowa's going to be. I mean, they're.
Iowa's exactly who they are. They're exactly who they were.
I'm saying, how often will they rise up to be 10-win Iowa? Yeah. Is it a schedule thing or is it a talent thing that they're just getting better? Or is it time for Minnesota and Purdue to scrap it out? And you know where you want Nebraska to fit into the mix, but you've got a tougher West division than you've ever had.
Yeah, no question about that. I do wonder about Wisconsin. I think they have lost too many good defensive coordinators over the years. They're almost a mess.
Gloss over.
Yeah.
Quick timeout. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak. Colton Stone, I think he's got his New Year's party hat on. We say hi to Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, how was your holiday week?
It was good. It was good. How was your guys?
It was good. I was reading the mailbag. I need to hear more about the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier.
if you don't remember this toy.
My neighbor had it, and he was my best friend for a while.
Yeah.
So I think it was 7 feet long, if I remember correctly. I think the first Christmas it came out, I did not get one, and because I was a young spoiled child through sort of fit. So the next year I got one. So it's also mixed with a little bit of tinge of guilt because my mom was like, yeah, I've never seen you as sad as when you didn't get it. So then by the next year, it was there. And it lived in the loft, because what else do you do with a 7-foot toy? But hopefully they got it on sale. I do feel kind of bad about that. But it was a lot of fun. Got a lot of years of play out of that.
So I got a question. How do they explain to you that, you know, just Santa didn't have room in the old bag for it year one?
I don't remember. I was pretty young, but that certainly would have worked. I mean, it was kind of unwieldy, I guess, to say the least. But at some point along the line, you know, I watch those things go for thousands of dollars now on eBay if they're complete. But mine unfortunately got scrapped for parts at a garage sale long ago.
Oh no, the infamous garage sale. That's pretty good. We were talking in hour one about, you know, finding that defense to complete your team. You have a quarterback and you have a defense. We'll see you as part of the Final Four, right? Sounds simple enough. Oklahoma's gotten there the last 2 years, despite being leveraged multiple times on the defensive side of the ball. And Oklahoma and Nebraska, a couple of interesting case studies where Oklahoma went. I remember when Stoops got rid of the tempo zone read thing back to the air raid, and they've done well, not only recruiting the quarterback, but the skill guys. OU's been tremendous on the offensive line, and the running backs they produced indicate that. But defensively, they've been on a long decline since Mad Mike kind of came back post-Arizona, and that seems to be rectified as they'll go in a new direction defensively. You know, is it crazy to look at similarities between Oklahoma and Nebraska, not just defensively, but just where the programs are at, where Nebraska can get to with their offensive philosophy when you look at what OU's doing? And can Nebraska kind of make up some of that ground? Can Oklahoma make up some ground tonight against Bama?
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy at all. You know, I've kind of been looking at Nebraska a little bit through that lens as well. You know, it's funny, I was rereading some Big Ten Media Day quotes from Scott Frost last night, actually, and he mentioned Oklahoma, and not in this context, but in the context of, hey, look at, you know, when I was in school, Oklahoma wasn't very good, and then they hired Stoops, and now they're back to being Oklahoma again. So, you know, he's trying to do that at Nebraska, and I kind of view the Oklahoma, I guess, I don't know if it's the model or just kind of how they're constructed as a little bit of what Nebraska is going to be, which is kind of classically offense forward, to put it politely, you know. And today will be an interesting sort of test. In some ways, I think Oklahoma kind of represents what football is moving towards a little more each year. But you get in games like this, Alabama can score points with anybody, but they can also challenge you defensively. Clemson's the same way. Notre Dame, not quite. So how Oklahoma plays in this game, whether they win or not, you know, I think people won't be able to help but take it as a little bit of a litmus test for that style of football overall. Whether that's, you know, fair or not, I think that's probably what's coming.
Is it a dying breed, Brandon, to be able to maul somebody defensively? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, as Saban checks out, you know, eventually he'll retire. Is that style? It feels like even 10 years ago you could count 20 to 25 teams that could do that. Now it feels like there's maybe four or five in the whole country that could just maul you defensively. Is that a dying breed?
It feels a little that way. The one thing, I guess, kind of keeping it alive is that those are your teams that tend to win national titles, at least over this late run here. You know, I'm trying to think back of a team that was kind of purely offense that's won a national title recently, and it's tough because, you know, you've been Alabama and Clemson. Maybe you go back to Auburn, but that was pretty good defense too. Oregon got close, but didn't quite get over the hump. Like, I think that's kind of the last holdout there, is that you get into the magnitude of these type of games that we're going to have today, and the teams that can challenge you on both sides have won the majority of the time. So we'll see what happens when an Oregon or an Oklahoma or a team that plays like that, maybe Nebraska at some point in the future, can get one of those big wins. And then I think you'll really kind of have those sort of pronouncements of death for that style of football, which it seems like everybody sees a little less of it each year.
You know, that said, Frost has been pretty adamant, and you look at the size of guys that they're bringing in defensively. They're going to, you know, we were looking ahead to like 2021 when Nebraska plays Oklahoma. If they keep recruiting like they are, Nebraska is going to be giant defensively. They are going to have rangy dudes. Everybody's going to be 6 foot plus. The line's going to be 6'7", 300 across the board. The linebackers are going to be 6'4", 250. The secondary's all going to be 6'2", corners and safeties. So they're going to be huge defensively. Is there an approximation out there to what Nebraska's trying to build? Because it appears Frost is not compromising. He's not just saying we're going to be all in on this Oregon blur style. He's also saying they're going to be enormous and physical. That's what he's trying to build. Is there an approximation out there for what he's trying to build?
You know, I don't know. Oklahoma, to go back to Oklahoma, like, they certainly get talent on the defensive side. Like, if everything goes well for Nebraska, like, that's – and they start winning – you know, at a relatively high level, to the point where you're kind of like, okay, when are they going to take the next step? Not the step that we're talking about right now that Nebraska needs to do, get back to, you know, winning division and conference titles, but the step beyond that. Like, if they're winning at that level, I think you'll start to see some pretty highly touted players come in defensively. That usually comes with, you know, size and athleticism as well. That's how you end up being a, you know, four-star linebacker, defensive end, whatever it may be. But, you know, Oklahoma gets those guys too. So it kind of becomes, at that point, like, if you can boost the talent level on that side and do the size, it's a little bit different because Nebraska plays in the Big Ten. That's kind of the X factor here that I think, how does that change things? But, you know, in terms of talent, I think Oklahoma is, again, the model, but you have to take into consideration that you're going to have to play in the Big Ten. You're going to have to play some of those, you know, endangered species teams that we're talking about that are a little bit more physical. So I don't know if there is a perfect fit for what Nebraska might be 3 or 4 years from now.
Brandon Vogels with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogels, where you follow him on Twitter. Read his book with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. Read him daily with Hot Reads on HailVarsity.com. So can you put into words why Bama is been what they've been? Not just the excellence, but the ability to reload and weather coaching and coordinator changes. I mean, that's better question here. What's more impressive to you, the fact they reload with the talent or the fact that they reload with the talent wearing the headsets?
Probably the headsets, and, you know, and I try to resist the notion that, well, Alabama could just, you know, get out of bed in the morning and go add, you know, four stars if they want to. You know, obviously, when they extend an offer, almost anybody in the country is interested. Like, that helps. Where they're located helps, but you still got to go out and recruit. But for them to kind of consistently lose coordinators, I think really kind of shines a spotlight on why Alabama has been what it's been, and it's Nick Saban, you know, and that's not a surprise. Like, college football is, in my opinion, a coach's game, even though they all try to tell you it's not. It is, you know, in a sport where your roster overturns every 4 years, essentially, like, the standard part of that then becomes the coach and the coaching staff. So you can do it the other way, but I think Saban and the culture he's able to instill, essentially, I think it comes down to sort of the excellence he demands on a day-to-day basis is what keeps Alabama going. It's what makes them different from just a, you know, extremely talented collection of football players, which you can find at USC, you can find at LSU, and a couple other spots. And that's why they're on the run that they're on, and I expect them to win today, and they'll add another chapter to a pretty impressive story.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio as we talk college football playoffs and constructing your roster. And, you know, let's fast forward to when it is an 8-team playoff, which presumably happens 2020 or 2021. What do you think the makeup of those 8 teams will be? Right. And it's kind of asked this in a little bit of a different way, but are there going to be more Alabama and Clemson types or more Oklahoma types in that 8-team field a few years from now?
Part of that might depend on how quickly we get there. I think you would see more Oklahoma types just because there's more of those teams out there. So when you think about teams that kind of play the way Alabama and Clemson have over the past 4 or 5 years, as they've kind of dominated the playoff era, you know, is Ohio State close to that? Kind of, you know, with Alabama's offensive switch recently, you know, they kind of became a little bit more like Ohio State. You know, Michigan, I would say, is a team that's even kind of more classically formulated with an old school style. So that's one that's out there. And then there's a few more in the SEC. You know, I think the SEC has kind of been the most traditional in terms of style of play conferences remaining, but any 8-team playoff is going to have to include all 5 conference Power 5 champions. Like, there's just no way that the conference commissioners will agree to it any other way. And it wouldn't make sense to have 8 teams and not include everyone, in my opinion. So I think you get some more Oklahoma, you get some more variety in terms of style of play, and that would be fun. You know, if that continues to kind of be the inflection point for college football's future, like, here's kind of a classic way to play football, here's where it's going at almost every level. It just kind of hasn't won at the biggest level. You know, getting more of those teams in, having more of those conflicts and those specific matchups is a great thing if you're a fan of the sport.
You got to pick one to be more consistent at getting. Is it a competent defense, or is it the elite quarterback? I mean, if you can pick one, what are you going with? What I know, there's 11 players, that unit of that side of the ball versus the game changer at quarterback. Alabama's got both. They got a great defense and they got a game changer at quarterback. Nebraska's got a game changer at quarterback. They're working on the defensive side. What's going to be more realistic to have and be consistent with?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the key difference with Alabama, as you mentioned. Like, they've always kind of had these other pieces. Now they've got the best quarterback they've had of that of this run, and you've seen what it looks like. It's pretty scary for opponents. Based on the teams that have won national titles, I think you, like, if you're talking about winning it all, winning at the highest level, I think you still go with defense. And the reason is pretty elemental. You know, X's and O's is fun on both sides of the ball, and play calling's important, talent's important, and all of that. But if you can play really good defense, because it's the reactionary side of the ball, they have to respond to what the offense is doing. You know, at a certain point, you can line them up however you want. Those players have to go out and make plays. And if you've developed defensive culture where that's the norm, that's what they do. They shut teams down. They hold teams to 14 points a game, whatever it may be. Eventually, because it's reactionary, because it's changing within the game, you know, and offenses, most offenses are going to run out of answers at some point if a defense can just continually execute better while not knowing where it needs to go on every play. And I think that's the key difference. And I don't know if that part of football will ever really change.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Nebraska probably has another 4 to 5 spots that they will try to fill before the next signing day. Could include some grad transfers. Now, there's one position that jumps out to me the most, and I'm just wondering if you think they'll be aggressive in this way too. But center kind of seems to be maybe center and outside linebacker, probably the most unsettled positions for Nebraska. Do you expect them, do you know of any names that are maybe out there? Do you expect them to go after perhaps an immediate contributor at one of those spots?
Yeah, particularly at center, you know, they're bringing in the kid from Iowa Western as a walk-on, which adds some depth. You know, the fact that he's coming in as a walk-on is different than, you know, if there's a grad transfer out there who's played three seasons of football at this point. And I don't know. I haven't gotten my mole to give me a NCAA transfer portal login yet. Yeah. But I'm sure there'll be some of those guys out there. You know, I think outside linebacker, if they can get a guy, great. There will be some of those guys in recruiting that are still out there that I look for them to fill that need. Maybe going that route is a little bit more likely. But center, you know, it's tough to just make up for that experience of having played in the trenches. You know, Cam Jurgens has a super high upside. And if he ends up being Nebraska center, great, but it's just offensive line is a craft, and you know, it takes time to learn that craft more than it does to say, you know, learn a route tree or understand the calls in the defensive secondary, where it's a little bit easier to contribute early.
Brandon Vogel. Vogues, we'll get caught up after the new year. Thanks for the time this morning, bud.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
There he is, Brandon Vogel with us, SaleVarsity.com and Magazine.
Did some snooping on this grad transfer website.
Snoop.
Arizona Wildcats starting center. He's taken an official visit to Oregon State already. But he is a multi-year starter at center. Nathan Eldridge is his name.
Nathan, it's always nice in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Reminding you to buckle up now. Click it or ticket from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Motion is a terrible thing when you're in an accident. Airbags not always enough. Do you want the seatbelt or the windshield to stop your body in motion? Prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down. Buckle up, whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or backseat. A quick timeout. The Iron Horse will join us. Gary Sharp on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Back in to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 15 minutes away, we'll head down to the Orange Bowl. Dean Blevins, Sooner standout, going to join us. We say hi to the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharp, we hope you had a great Christmas and best New Year's wishes to you. How you been?
Thank you. I hope you remind Dean that it's 9 degrees in Nebraska.
No, I will. He'll ask. He'll ask how it is up there. I want to start off with Dedrick Mills, JUCO talent that Nebraska's kind of waiting on. What's your assessment of where things are at? Do you have a nugget for us this morning? And if not, no worries. But how do you see this thing shaking out?
Well, Nebraska's going to wait for him. I think Mr. Mills has some things he has to take care of on his own down in Kansas. And I think he's working towards those to get everything sorted out so that everything's in line, that when he signs with Nebraska, there's no hiccups or anything. But Nebraska's not moving away from him. This is all on Mr. Mills. He has to shore some things up, work on the maturity a little bit, and I think he'll be at Nebraska before long.
Is he needed this year?
Yes. Yep. And I'll say this, Mark, and I answer quickly, because look at the running back room. You don't have a lot of experience there. He has experience at the Division I level, where he's at least, unlike Greg Bell, he's got a resume at the Division I level of being able to run the football. And I think with the running back room, as young as it's going to be in this upcoming year, you need a guy that has a little veteran experience to at least somebody you can rely on till the other guys get up to speed. So you definitely need him. And I think the way the running back role is going to be at Nebraska, he would be a really, really good fit for what you need, kind of that power guy, that Ozigbo guy. But I think in terms of experience in that running back room, that's vitally important. I don't see, unless it's on Mills' end, I don't see him not ending up at Nebraska.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, what's going to be good enough as a team defense? Points allowed, yards, all that stuff, moving forward, not only in the Big Ten, but beyond for Nebraska and other teams, when you look at the landscape of college football today?
Well, Schmitty, you could ask that question after Oklahoma plays Alabama tonight. Because what happens if Oklahoma, over the next week and a half, they win a national championship by winning 56-49 type games?
Mm-hmm.
Does that change how people look at defense and offense in this country? I still believe points per play, trips inside of the red zone, those are the kind of things where Nebraska needs to be in the top 30. I mean, I don't think it's unrealistic at all, guys. I think that Nebraska can be a top 50 defense. It's always going to be offense here. They're always going to preach offense. They're recruiting to that offense because they have a benchmark. They have DeAnthony Thomas at Oregon. They have other playmakers that they can recruit to on that side of the ball. But it's not without the realm of possibility. Nebraska can be a top 50 defense, but they know their role. That's I think, the other important thing. Instead of giving them numbers, they know the role is to create turnovers, get off the field, get the ball back to the offense as soon as possible. And so all of us trying to attach numbers might be a little bit out of the, you know, kind of off, because when we attach, they know their role. Now can they execute it? And in games that they executed the role and still give up some big plays and a lot of yards, they didn't give up points, and they got the ball back to the offense. So that might be moving forward, and until you get established depth across the board, that probably is how the defense is going to move for the next year and a half.
You know, one key to that defense, hey, real quick breaking news, by the way. We were looking at the grad transfer market and seeing if Nebraska would, you know, try to bring in a center, and there's a guy named Nathan Eldridge from Arizona who's a center, grad transfer. Maybe he would come, but no, he went to Oregon State. So that's not happening.
The Beaver strikes again.
But you look at the two most unsettled positions, and it's probably center on offense, and it's probably outside linebacker on defense. And to play the kind of defense you were just describing for Nebraska, it's pretty important to have kind of those disruptors on the outside. Defensively, Nebraska's got Caleb Tanner coming back. You had David Alston, who is a redshirt.
Got Fergie back.
Yeah, you got Ferguson coming back. But do you think Nebraska aggressively pursues maybe an immediate impact guy at either of those two positions, or are they good with what they got?
I think they're always open for business. I don't think you put out the no vacancy sign, but you always have a couple of spots open in case somebody pops up, like in the middle of the summer, that's looking for a new home, that all of a sudden said, I'm not sticking around here. I'm going to take 17 hours, and I'm going to graduate in the middle of the summer to go play somewhere else. So I think you're always looking to help your roster. But, you know, if you think about it, if you trust your coaching enough, which they do, then there's some young guys you just mentioned, Mark, that are ready to take the next step. Like a healthy Tyron Ferguson with another year of development in the offseason, I think watch out, because when he was healthy and he was on the field, he was a disruptor, and he played that position kind of how you want him to play that position. But you can see that they went after guys to reestablish the depth. I really think the defense moving forward starts up front with, can the three guys on the defensive line, can they be disruptors, and can they draw double teams where those linebackers, which I think will be greatly improved with another year under both of their position coaches, can those linebackers then just go and make plays? And I think that's a key. I think getting the nose tackle position locked down in Nebraska for 2019, if it's Damian Daniels or it's a combination of him and his brother, I think that's pretty important. Because if you can have a war daddy that sits right there in the middle and draws a lot of attention, you just can't move him, then that really helps this defense and lets other guys go and hunt for the football.
Was that there was a lot of issues as the defense, you know, they got better, so credit to them. But was that the big problem in your eyes, one of the main issues with the defense, was just the fact that, listen, you had a guy in Davis, bless his heart, trying his best at nose, and you had an injured Mick. And meanwhile, Damian's only given you a few, 20 snaps, maybe a little more, but the contrast from when he's out versus when he was in against the run?
Well, I think a combination of all of that, Chris, but then also guys just weren't strong enough. If you go back and watch the Iowa game, they picked on three guys. They went, let's go get 95 because he's not strong enough to hold the edge. We're going to run him over. And then once we get past him, we're going to go to number five, and we're going to blow by him because he's not strong enough or smart enough to be able to handle what we're doing. And then once we get to the next level, there's a guy at 21 that's not going to be able to tackle anybody that doesn't like contact, and we're going to mow over. So when all the stuff that was said after the Iowa game is pretty true. Guys got to get stronger. That'll help them with those downhill running games, those power running games they're going to face, to be able to stand up and neutralize. I mean, you might give up a yard or two. Don't give up 7 to 8. I think the development of that whole defensive side of the football will be fascinating in the offseason, because we talk about a lot of the new guys that came in, but let's be honest. For Nebraska to have success in 2019, they've got to be solid with the guys that are returning.
Yeah.
Those guys got to get better, the Tanners, the Taylors, some guys that got to play last year or didn't play. It's their time to shine. Like, we're excited. I mean, I'm excited in the spring to see Wildman and Rogers, what they can do. You know, they didn't play at all due to injuries, just redshirting. Those guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster. What are they going to be like?
Yep. Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. At the same time, you know, we talk about these positions, you know, and how, you know, an outside linebacker and maybe off the edge you're not quite as good as you want to be. But at the same time, you were patchwork at nose. That's probably not going to be the case this year. And does that alone all of a sudden make such a huge difference? You got to figure Darian Daniels is a starter at nose, and you got to figure his brother, Damian, will get the other snaps, and you're going to have two actual true noses. Have we just kind of maybe overlooked the importance of having that true nose in this style of defense?
I don't think we've overlooked it, but I think we realize now more the importance of having a 320-pound nose tackle that just sits there and causes havoc and draws a double team. I wouldn't be so quick. Damian Daniels is going to get the body right. Damian Daniels, I think, is a beast. Now, his brother was pretty good at Oklahoma State when he was healthy, but Damian Daniels is one of my guys to watch in 2019. I think he's going to be really, really good for Nebraska defensively. If those two guys can lock down the nose and they can split the snaps, see, I think the Davis twins are better on the outside.
Yep.
And the more you can just leave them on the outside, I think he's better for Nebraska.
I think you're right on with that. Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, a thought before we say goodbye on Clemson, Notre Dame, and Bama, OU. What happens?
Well, I think you're going to see even with one absence, the power of the defensive line for Clemson. I think Clemson found a way on offense with a brand-new quarterback, Travis Etienne, who talks about a running back. I think they're pretty dynamic there. This is a Notre Dame team, though. Don't overlook. They're well-coached. They've got a really good quarterback that is a good decision maker. They've got a really good running back in Dexter Williams. They're talented defensively. They don't make a lot of mistakes. Can Clemson's will, can Clemson being super physical, can that weigh on Notre Dame? But I can tell you more what Notre Dame will be like than I can Clemson, because Clemson played in a terrible ACC.
Right.
Notre Dame has some games where you can go, okay, I see that. I mean, it might be some close games, but I think this game will be closer than the spread. But I do see Clemson coming out on top. The other game, it's a track meet, and a lot of it depends on how long they can go with Tua, what Kyler Murray can do. But Oklahoma's going to have to score nearly every time they touch the football. Can they do that against an Alabama defense that isn't vintage Alabama, but when they need to make stops, they do make stops. But it should be a fascinating day of football. It's, you know, it shows you what parity is in college football. We got Clemson and Alabama maybe playing again.
Yep, the sequel plus one. There you go. Sharpie, best to you, man. We'll get caught up after the new year. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on for the entire year. Great year, 2018, for Hail Varsity, for the show, and all the stuff. But appreciate it. Be safe, and we'll talk to you in 2019.
All right, brother. Take care.
Appreciate
thanks
you,
so
man.
Much. There he is, Gary Sharp. The Iron Horse. We love him. Quick timeout. We'll head down to the Orange Bowl. Dean Blevins, Sooner Insider, News 9, Sports Animal. We'll see if he has any sand in his toes. He's next with us on Hail Varsity.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranek.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranek, Colton Stone. We say hi to Dean Blevins, News 9, Oklahoma. Of course, the Sports Animal And he's down in Miami at the Orange Bowl for Oklahoma and Bama. Dean, thanks for the time. How's the vibe down there? You've been around the team all week. Are they ready for tonight? Thanks for getting up early with us.
Oh, you bet. Chris, good to be with all of you. You know, I think that they are as prepared as they can be. I'm really hesitant. I'm not real positive, optimistic about this game just because, Chris, this is not a vintage Oklahoma team because you got to have all three sides of the ball covered. Mm-hmm. And special teams, Oklahoma's really solid. Offensively, they're great. Defensively, it's one of the worst defenses that Oklahoma has ever had. Now, long-term, Lincoln may have a guy hired or will hire a guy really soon, and I fully expect him to continue to add quality recruits and for that defense to be back to an Oklahoma level sooner rather than later. But that's not what's going to be on the field tonight. And Alabama's offense is potent. I mean, Nick Saban... he got with it and changed things, and they are an explosive offensive football team. So I think that and the other big thing is that Hollywood Brown's not 100%. Don't know that he'll even play a whole lot. And he is a difference maker. It changes how a team defends you. So Oklahoma's ready. Lincoln will darn sure have them ready to play, but that doesn't mean that they realistically have a great chance of winning this game.
Dean Blevins with us on Hail Varsity Radio as we get set for Alabama and Oklahoma a little bit later today, coming to us live from the Orange Bowl. Now, look, Alabama just exposes you. Whatever ails you, they will expose completely. Uh-huh. That said, you got to put together your game plan. You talk with the coaches often. What is their plan?
What they're going to do to Alabama?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, you got to come up with your plan. What are they? And, you know, you got to have sort of a Hail Mary in your pocket, not literally, but, you know, you've got to figure out something. You got to have some sort of attack. What do you think they're going to try to do?
Well, yeah, and you know, I agree with you, and I just told you that I think it's going to be very difficult for Oklahoma to win tonight. But at the same time, I mean, Kyler Murray in that offense is really good. It's a defense that has caused turnovers late in the last few games that has paved the way for them to be available, to be open to win. Oklahoma did beat Alabama as a 14.5-point underdog. 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go in with a solid game plan, and who knows, they may be able to pull it off. Offensively, I think they'll try to do what they do. Lincoln Riley is the most brilliant offensive mind I have ever seen, and I've talked to Bob Stoops about this. He continues to just shake his head at how he has the ability to draw up plays, to conceive plays out of the air and get people open and then have answers for what a defense does to you. And Nick Saban is as wowed by him as any other coach that he's coached against. So I think they'll figure some things out there. Hollywood Brown is a big issue, though, not having him. Defensively, really, is what we're talking about. And I think defensively, what they have to do is to not lay back and let Alabama, you know, not in any kind of soft zone, or not zone necessarily, but a soft defense that just kind of gives up. You know how these Big 12 games are. You kind of sit back and you're giving teams 8 yards a play, just trying to not maybe get beat deep. And, you know, that won't work. I think Oklahoma has to come out aggressive defensively and gamble.
Now, one player on the defensive side of the ball that's caught some Oklahoma fans' ire this year and was a really popular figure in Nebraska when he was a commit at one time is Bucky Radley-Hiles. He's just playing out of position. One, he's playing early because he's a true freshman. But he's not a safety, right? Don't you project him to eventually move over to corner?
No, he's not a cornerback. That's kind of the misconception at Oklahoma. I mean, there are some people who continue to write and say that. He is a nickelback, if anything, in the Oklahoma system. Apparently he is a fantastic kid and a born leader and everything that you want outside of being 5'8", 5'8 and a half, a cornerback who just routinely got beat and was just not a – he didn't couldn't tackle anyone, to be honest with you. It was just a really, really disappointing season. So he's been out of the lineup. I think that he will give a run at it in the spring to see if he can improve and get back in the lineup as a nickelback.
Dean Blevins with us, News 9 Sports Animal. Follow him on Twitter at Dean Blevins down in Miami. Sooners and Bama tonight. Dean, you've been around college football for years. You've done it nationally, and you've covered Oklahoma locally. The landscape of college football from a style standpoint, do you see the pendulum swinging back defensively, or are the floodgates open for the Lincoln Rileys, the Scott Frost games to be more Big 12-like? That's how it feels. Is it short-term or is it long-term? Are Bama's more of the exception versus the rule with how they can do it both on offense and defense?
Well, I think Bama's the exception because no one stacks up talent. I mean, Clemson's there every year, so I can't say no one. Sure. Ohio State stacks talent. And I tell you what, Oklahoma is about to get in that game. You know, they've stacked up three consecutive top eight classes, and so they're going to get into that game. But Bama, you know, it's like they lost their – they suspended a guard for this game. Well, the guy that comes in has played just as much as him. He's a five-star, and they keep going. I think you're going to see offenses continue to be creative and aggressive and along the lines of what we're seeing. You know, Saban switched his offense to more like an Oklahoma. I mean, it's not that type of system, but you know what I mean. They now have great receivers and have Tua, and they will continue to be a pass team. Defensively, I think Alabama is just one of those rare teams that does stack up that talent. They can do things that other people can't do. I don't know how the game changes moving forward. I just think it just proves that what Nebraska did during its fabulous run or two or three, they had players back then and coaches. And during our runs, and there have been fantastic players. But you know what? You know what those teams had, Chris? Those teams had What did Jacobson play? I'm Glover. They had
nose guard. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they had defensive players that were really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Oklahoma won when I walked down the ramp with Leroy and Dewey Selman and eight other guys who played in the pros, and then Bosworth and, you know, Casillas, and lined up those guys, and then Stoops bunch with Teddy Lehman, and just superstar after superstar defensively. So, you know, it is all still about the collection of talent, and then, you know, whoever separates as a coach.
Talk to me real quick, Dean, about Kyler Murray. Saban has not done well against dual threat quarterbacks, the mobile thrower, the runner. Kyler's tremendous. I know the margin of error is slim for OU, 7 and 3 points. That whole discussion that's been ongoing this week, but what kind of problem can he be for the Bama defense tonight?
Well, he's just a freakish athlete who has an NFL arm. He could go start in the NFL right now, arm wise. That's how much talent he has. If he just plays the way he typically plays, he will cause problems. I know that Bama comes in with a bad attitude about they're tired of hearing how great Oklahoma's offense is and how great Kyler Murray is. I think he's got to make sure and play level-headed the way he always does. That's the most important thing. But I think this defense is going to make it tough, particularly as I get back and point out Hollywood Brown. Mm-hmm. If he's not, and he told me the other day, he's not going to be 100%. If he's not the guy he normally was, Chris, that changes how they defend you, and the field sure gets much, much smaller, and it'll be difficult for Kyler.
Sports Animal, News 9, and Sooner standout Dean Blevins, at Dean Blevins on Twitter. Follow him. He'll be all over coverage in the Orange Bowl, Bama, and, of course, the Oklahoma Sooners. Dean, before we say goodbye, just letting you know it's 9 degrees here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm with an air, the I've got the air conditioner piping here, and it's 74 and humid, and I'm about to walk outside in my underwear.
Well, enjoy that one, that little show. Dean, you take care, okay. Bud. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Take care.
There he is. Dean Blevins with us. Going to walk outside in his undies. That's funny.
Why not?
Why not? You're at South Beach. It's allowed. Also allowed is your chance to save with your friends at Sauter Heyman. The sale of all sales continues on, 70% off with the entire inventory liquidation with Sauter Heyman. Stop by. Get savings today. The first time a sale like this has ever occurred. With Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman. SauterHeyman.com. Stop by, save. The total inventory liquidation sale continues. South Point and Grand Island locations only. While you're there, stop by and win a free $5,000 one-carat diamond pendant. Good stuff from Dean Blevins. We thank Dean for getting up. Guy's been just going nonstop morning to night with all the coverage, all the preparation, and Oklahoma and Bama.
Yeah, things get so real when you play Alabama.
They do.
It's just there's nowhere to hide.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, damn it.
You're not that damn bad. It. They're that good.
Yeah.
Well, that's big news on Hollywood Brown.
Interesting about Buki, too. I thought he was shut down corner. I thought that was just his thing. And I guess Nickel, you sort of are a corner in some ways.
It's about tackling and the transition from 7-on-7 to...
He was a
football-looking
player, though.
I think he just needs to get better, and I think he will. Colton, thank you. Gary Sharp, thank you. Thank you, Brandon Vogel. Thank you, Dean Blevins. Thank you, Crane. We'll be back on Tuesday.